Greetings, saints. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we thank you for blessing us with wisdom, understanding, and most of all, holiness, Lord. The sanctification without which no man shall see the Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the Passover. We thank you, Lord, for blessing your people in the things to come. And we ask you, Lord, to get the word out to your people that there is a Passover. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father. Well, of course, there's a lot being said out there about the omnibus bill. And, yeah, there's some things I'm sure that Trump doesn't like and the rest of the people don't like either. But I do think he may have outwitted them on the spending situation. It's a possibility that he's going to use the defense spending to build the wall. It's a possibility he planned that from the beginning. But you know, you ask for more than you get, and you make them feel happy that they got what they got, and then that's kind of what he's been doing all of his life, you know. At any rate, I think everything is on course. I'll go back and I want to read Isaiah 48, a portion of it anyway. Verse 14. He says, "Assemble yourselves, all ye, and hear. Who among them hath declared these things? He whom the Lord loveth shall perform his pleasure on Babylon." Now, of course, you can say this is God's pleasure, because he works in everyone to will and to do of his good pleasure. But also, you could see Trump here, from especially from Isaiah 45, 1 and 13, as Cyrus, we have seen. And what we need to do is trust more in the Lord and in the prophecies that lead the way to what's going to happen here than we do in Trump. People are going up and down, and they don't understand the man. They don't know how he negotiates. And yes, there's things in there that will be overturned, I'm sure. And because we're going to win this, Babylon will be conquered. When I say Babylon, I've always said Babylon is an entity within the United States. And it's being revealed more and more that this entity is the deep state shadow government. And the king of Babylon, of course, is conquered by Cyrus, whom we see as Trump. And I'm quite sure that we have that right. It's been revealed pretty well. But the Lord says he's going to perform his pleasure on Babylon. His arm shall be on the Chaldeans. Even I have spoken, yea, I have called him, I have brought him. He shall make his way prosperous. Yes. Cyrus is going to be victorious. We haven't gotten to the end of the Red Sea yet. And we haven't come into the place where the king of Babylon and his forces have been put down. But we are coming there quickly. Verse 16, "Come ye near unto me, hear ye this. From the beginning I have not spoken in secret. From the time that it was, there am I. And now the Lord Jehovah hath sent me and his Spirit." And thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, who teacheth thee to profit, who leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened unto my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river. Yes, we've gone through the people of God, great tribulation and troubles, and the great threat was made, obviously. Purim, we've seen that parable being fulfilled, the great threat of destruction by the hand of the beast. And we've been warned that this beast government has planned to wipe out God's people, kind of a Purim. And they're, of course, killing a lot of people right now. And we've seen the proof of that concerning the plagues that they're spreading across the land. And I saw another one today. You know, it's just every day it seems like another one breaks out, you know. So don't worry about it. Just claim your Passover. Believe in Purim. Believe that the enemy is going to be taken down. And you're justified by faith, right? Oh, that thou hast hearkened unto my commandments. Thy peace had been as a river. Yes, be at peace. You have authority to speak the commands, to bring down this evil kingdom. So do it. Thy seed also had been as the sand, and the offspring like the grains thereof. His name would not be cut off for nor destroyed from before me. Go ye forth from Babylon, flee ye from the Chaldeans, with the voice of singing declare ye, and tell this, utter it even unto the end of the earth. Say ye, the Lord hath redeemed his servant Jacob. Amen. He's delivered his people out of bondage. We know that Obama had a plan, and he was carrying it out, and it was basically to destroy America and bring in his Muslim friends who would vote for his cause all the way. And those people who appeased Islam and brought it in were destroyed by the same demons that they are. Faction, witchcraft, etc. The work of God is bringing these people down to utter stupidity. The Lord hath redeemed his servant Jacob, and they thirsted not when he led them through the deserts. He caused the waters to flow out of the rock for them. Now we know that that's, he's talking about Babylon in all the texts, but he's applying this revelation of how God provided the water when they were fleeing Egypt. He provided the water in the wilderness. He clave the rock also, and the waters gushed out. There is no peace, saith the Lord, to the wicked. Yep. And so we see, you know, that God's applying two different parables and putting them together. The destruction of Babylon, the destruction of Egypt. We know who the king of Babylon is. We know who Pharaoh of Egypt is. It's actually been plastered all over the internet, and it's correct. And God's bringing them down. Don't worry, they can't win this battle. It's not possible. In fact, here's a parallel in Jeremiah 51. I'm going to read verse 18 on down. They are vanity, a work of delusion. In the time of their visitation, they shall perish. Now, we've proven from many scriptures that speak about the visitation at this particular time in history, at the time of the shaking, by the way, too. We can see that. This visitation is the visitation of the Lord in his man-child to begin his earthly ministry again in a larger body of people. And So we'll look at that again in a moment, but I want to point something out very important to you here, because you're not just sitting by watching all this happen and griping about what you perceive to be the failures. You got a job to do, and it's very plain here. The portion of Jacob is not like these, for he is the former of all things, and that's our God, you know. He is before everything. And Israel is the tribe of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. And he says, thou art my battle axe and weapons of war. Okay. And with thee will I break in pieces the nations. Well, now it seems to me like we better get to work. We've the ones that have been given authority on this earth. What we bind on earth is bound in heaven. And what we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. And some places people are, you know, waiting on God. Push this thing along. Well, that's what your prayers and your spiritual warfare do. They bring down this evil over God's people. God's people were in bondage in Egypt. God's people were in bondage in Babylon. Both of those parables, as we can see, run parallel. And that's where the people of God are. They're in bondage. Whose job is it to break up these nations so that the people are set free? Well, you say it was Cyrus. Yep, that's right. That's one that God uses. Okay, but God has said he's going to do this, and he's telling us to do it. Yeah. So let's take responsibility for what the Lord is telling us to do. Thou art my battle axe and weapons of war. And with thee will I break in pieces the nations. And with thee will I destroy kingdoms. Notice that. I'm going to come back to that a little later. And this part about the visitation of the man-child. We'll come back to that and look at another parallel here. With thee will I break in pieces the nations. With thee I will destroy kingdoms. With thee. Okay. Didn't it say the same thing about Cyrus? Yes, it does. Okay, so God can use whoever he wants. We know that there's a parallel between the man-child ministry and Cyrus's ministry. We've had our own revelations about that. Our brethren have had dreams and revelations proving that. And so, who's behind Trump to do these things? What is giving him the power? You know, everybody's actually giving him the credit for doing what it says right here, we are doing. There are people taking seriously their authority out there, and they are speaking, and these are the ones that count. The ones that don't know they have authority, they're just, coasting along and not really doing their job. But we've got authority to bind and loose, and that's what we're supposed to be doing. With thee will I destroy kingdoms. With thee will I break in pieces the horse and his rider. So here again he's speaking about the judgment on Babylon, and he's applying it to Egypt, you know, the destruction of Egypt. The Red Sea taking down of the enemy and delivering of God's people is like the other parables we've looked at. The taking down of Babylon by Cyrus. It set God's people free to go back and rebuild the kingdom, which was destroyed because of apostasy, right? So, this is where we're headed. Praise God. You know, we've got every reason to be hopeful. I mean, at least the beginnings of Babylon has been conquered, and their plot and their scheme to use Islam to conquer the United States and bring everybody into bondage has been broken. So the people of God have been given the task to break in pieces the horse and his rider. That's those who want to bring God's people back into captivity. They had to turn them loose at the beginning, just like Pharaoh did. He had no choice. He turned them loose. Then he had a change of mind, went after them to bring them back into captivity or kill as many as possible, maybe. You know, either way. And God said, no, it's not going to happen. Break in pieces the horse and his rider. and with thee will I break in pieces the chariot and him that rideth therein. And with thee will I break in pieces man and woman, and with thee will I break in pieces the old man and the youth. With thee will I break in pieces the young man and the virgin. And with thee will I break in pieces the shepherd and his flock. Let me say, this is a breaking in pieces of enemies. Anyone out there who is walking in the stubbornness and self-will of their carnal life, they're following the beast. They're under the beast's dominion, whether they know it or not. And whether they're on the right or the left, it doesn't make any difference. They're still following the beast because they're following the mind of the beast, which is the flesh. Right? But God says these people will be broken. That's a good thing. People need to be broken before they know they need to be fixed. And basically the Word of God brings them down, you know. It's a crucifying word that's been given unto us. With thee will I break in pieces the shepherd and his flock. With thee will I break in pieces the husbandman and his yoke of oxen. And with thee will I break in pieces governors and deputies. And I will render unto Babylon and to all the inhabitants of Chaldea all the evil that they have done in Zion in your sight, says the Lord. And of course, we know that Babylon has brought down, the very nature of Babylon has brought down the leadership of God's people. They are very worldly. They pledge allegiance to that beast. They don't understand this God and country thing is not God and country. It's God. Just God. Okay? Behold, I'm against thee, O destroying mountain, says the Lord, which destroyest all the earth. And this is certainly true. There is no other nation that's brought more destruction to the world than this one in these latter years. And of course, the deep state government, which is a tool in the hand of the elite, is doing it all to make the elite rich and fat and happy. And we brought destruction to all the earth, and our armies and our military has been used by the New World Order to do this. And I will stretch out my hand upon thee and roll thee down from the rocks and make thee a burnt mountain. And they shall not take of thee a stone for a corner or a stone for foundation, but thou shalt be desolate forever, says the Lord. Now how can it be desolate forever when the United States is going to probably stay in leadership to a great extent all the way to the end of the tribulation period? Because the entity that's within the United States, that Babylonish entity, is the one that's going to be destroyed. Okay? I'm going to read down a little bit further. Set ye up a standard in the land, blow the trumpet among the nations, prepare the nations against her, call together against her the kingdoms of Ararat, Mene, Ashkenaz, appoint a marshal against her, cause the horses to come up as the rough cankerworm, prepare against her the nations, the kings of the Medes, and of course it was the Persians too, and that was Cyrus, okay, the governors thereof, and the deputies thereof, and all the land of their dominion. And the land trembleth. This is also something that is mentioned often concerning the overthrow of the kingdoms. And the land trembleth and is in pain, for the purposes of the Lord against Babylon do stand. Now, so here, you see, it's not up to Trump. You may disagree with what he's doing, and I don't like some of the things that came through on the omnibus bill. but you're going to find that God is in control, and God's going to do it, and it's our job to demand that it is done. To wrestle with the principalities and powers, to cast down the deep state and their shadow government, because we win. It's God's purpose that we win. To make the land of Babylon a desolation without inhabitant. Yep. And he goes on to talk about the bars are broken and the city is taken and on and on. Well, I'll just read it. Okay. The mighty men of Babylon have forborne to fight. They remain in their strongholds. Yep. Father, we release the spirit of fear on these people, that everything that they plot and all that they scheme will fail, and that they will end up just as they suspect, destroyed. Their might hath failed. They are become as women. Her dwelling places are set on fire. Her bars are broken. One post shall run to meet another, and one messenger to meet another, to show the king of Babylon that his city is taken on every quarter. Yep. Cyrus is being victorious because God Almighty raised him up and put him there, and our faith and our prayers is bringing them down. And all credit goes to the Lord, because he said this was his plan, it was his purpose, and he's bringing it to pass. And that his city is taken on every quarter. Okay, let's go. Remember I said that God is going to use God's people to break in pieces the nations, and that there was a shaking involved in this also. And also we can go to Haggai, where it speaks of this shaking. I'll read in chapter 2 and verse 6, and then drop down a little bit. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the precious things of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory. So after this shaking, God's going to fill his house with glory. It's a fallen house. Haggai here speaks of, you know, Zerubbabel and the people of God who've come back out of the first ones, come out of captivity and to rebuild. To rebuild. And the latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, says the Lord. There's peace coming. There is a destruction at the Red Sea, a bringing down of that kingdom to where they cannot chase God's people into the wilderness. They thought that they would. They failed. They still think that they can. They will fail. Because the things that have been are the things that shall be, and the things that have been done are the things that shall be done, and there's no new thing under the sun. I'm going to start in verse 18 again. He's talking about the beginning of the building and how that when he did this, the people came into great prosperity and blessing. While they were building their own house and not worrying about building the kingdom, there was a curse on them. Verse 18, consider, I pray you, from this day and backward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, since the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree have not brought forth, and from this day will I bless you. So as they started on the building of God's house, God's kingdom, he said he was going to bless. And he continues to explain this blessing from 20 on down. He says, and the word of the Lord came the second time to Haggai in the 24th day of the month, same time, saying, speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth. Now, Zerubbabel is there. He is there to build. He is there to build the kingdom of God. I will shake the heavens and the earth. Of course, Hebrews says, yet once more will he do this from the time of when that was written. And this is it. This is speaking about it. I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. Now, who is responsible to do that? Well, we just read it. God's people are responsible to do that. Yes, he is using generals, you know, like our president, you know, to do this. And he's giving them wisdom. He's working in them to willing to do of his good pleasure. It may look like we've had a setback, going the wrong way. I myself have asked the Lord when I see what looks like wrong steps, and the Lord said, just be patient. Just be patient. Everything is going to happen, as we say. So we just need to continue to know that the words that we've spoken, the prayers that we've prayed, will come to pass. Right? Jesus said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them, and you shall have them. So do you believe him? Amen. I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. Well, that happened with Pharaoh. It happened with the king of Babylon. He's making that parallel. It's going to happen again. Okay. And by the way, you know, when it happened with Pharaoh, it was because the people needed to go into the wilderness, which we know to be the tribulation. So the tribulation is not far off. Neither is the fall of Pharaoh and his army, very far off. Neither is the fall of Babylon's kingdom, very far off. Because, of course, God's people then also went into the wilderness to go to their promised land, right? So we know all this is a win-win situation. And we are to be used to speak faith, not fear, not doubt, and not be moved by the things that we see that we don't like. Honestly. And I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the nations. Oh my goodness, has he ever done that? You know? So you think there may not be a purpose in all this? I tell you, there is a purpose in all this. There's nothing that's destroyed the kingdoms recently more than invasions of Islam. Islam can't get up off the dirt. I mean, it's so corrupt and so evil, and has brought such destruction everywhere it goes. I mean, nobody kills more Islamic people than the Islamic people do. And so, and there's such faction in their midst, and witchcraft too, that which is rebellion. Their forefathers were famous for that. So he says, I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them. Hey, don't worry about them. Don't worry about them. That's your job. Cast them down. Right? And those that ride in them, and the horses, and their riders, shall come down. Shall come down. Shall come down. Every one by the sword of his brother. Of course, God has also given us the parable of Jehoshaphat, how that the enemies came against them as three companies, but were divided and destroyed each other. And so we can see this, that they're going to do as much to destroy each other in the end of this thing as anybody else, right? Because he's applying that also to what happened at the Red Sea. Now, at the Red Sea, that wasn't there. But what God is throwing in here is another piece of the parable. So you can see that this also will be involved. They will destroy each other. And as we can see out there, they are. Macab said, if he goes down, he's going to bring everybody else down with him. Yeah, right. Well, okay. Every one by the sword of his brother. In that day, says the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, says the Lord, and I will make thee a signet, or a sign. A signet, by the way, is a sign of authority. Because he says, for I have chosen thee, says the Lord of hosts. This sign of authority was given to Mordecai as the man-child over the beast kingdom. It was given to Joseph, this sign of authority, this signet. He was the second only to Pharaoh, who represented at that time the King of Kings. Mordecai, too, with Ahasuerus, who represented the King of Kings, second only to the King of Kings. And this is the man-child ministry that God is raising up, running parallel with a man-child in the political world, you know, Donald Trump. So, since this shaking is coming, what's happening just before the shaking? Everything that we see right now is in a perfect parallel to what we see, for instance, in the book of Hebrews. Let me read something to you here. Hebrews chapter 12. I'll start in verse 14. Sometimes you need to take a broader view, because if you just narrow your view down, you don't see that he's speaking of repetitions of history, you know. So it's good sometimes to read through quickly, and it's good to slow down and meditate on it and get a lot out of it, because you get something both ways. Follow after peace with all men and the sanctification, without which no man shall see the Lord. And of course, this is what we need to do. Sanctification, or you don't have the presence of God. Sanctification and holiness are the same word, you know. Separation from the world unto God. That's why we did this fast recently, to get rid of things. Looking carefully, lest there be any man that falleth short of the grace of God. And yes, we see people falling short of the grace of God. We see them falling by the wayside, as Jesus said they would. It is our responsibility to do everything we can to help everybody to make it. But let's face it, everybody's not going to make it. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby the many be defiled. We've seen the root of bitterness rise up. We've seen it defile people. But it can't defile people who are walking in holiness, and it can't defile the bride. But it can take out an awful lot of leaven that would pollute the bride. So God knows what he's doing. He said this would happen from the beginning. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau. Well, we got both of those among the faction, which has rised up to do exactly what it was planned to do. For one mess of meat, he sold his own birthright. Yep, walking after the flesh, right? For you know that even when he afterward desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place for a change of mind in his father, though he sought it diligently and with tears. He wasn't granted repentance. Esau was the leader of the Edomites. We know that when David came to authority, he conquered the Edomites. He put garrisons in their cities. They came under his control. Now, don't disconnect that from what we see here, because we've been going through this part, this 14 through 17. But he goes on to say, for ye are not come unto a mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, and unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that no word more should be spoken unto them, for they could not endure that which was enjoined. Yep, because, to hear the word of God from the mountain was to die. And to hear the word of God that we have right here in front of us, is to die. Right? That which was enjoined, even if a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned. Even so, and so, fearful was the appearance that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Okay, now, we know that he was speaking to them, and he's speaking to us, because the things that have been are the things that shall be. So, why did he speak this to them? Well, because they had heard the word of God. from the mouth of Jesus. They weren't struggling with some of the things we're struggling with. When Christianity was started, it was started on a firm foundation. These people understood the word. They didn't have to decide whether or not they were going to believe in tongues or being filled with the Holy Spirit, or whether there was a tribulation to come. They didn't have to wrestle with all that stuff because they got it right the first time. You know, now we're coming out of the dark ages here, and some people refuse to come out of the dark ages. They are going to accept what their teachers teach, and they're not going to accept what the Word of God says, or even what they see with their eyes. And but you're come unto Mount Zion. Mount Zion was the bride. John the Baptist said, "He that hath the bride is the bridegroom." Okay, so they followed Jesus. They were very quickly, because they didn't have to wrestle with their past so much, they got deliverance from apostate Judaism, and they were following Jesus, and they saw through it, and they saw what it was. They saw that the master, our shepherd, called forth his sheep out of the sheepfold. And they heard his voice, and they followed him. And, of course, in these days, same thing is getting ready to happen. A calling is going forth, and people are ready to come out, especially when they see how corrupt and how fallen and how false the doctrine is of the apostate church. People are going to see through it. Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. By the way, the heavenly Jerusalem is being born from above, as we'll see in a minute. And to innumerable hosts of angels, and to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. Of course, Jesus was the firstborn, and this church is the called out ones of the firstborn. It's not the apostate denominations and all that. These people have refused to come out from among them. They've refused to have their Christianity be this biblical Christianity. They refused that. They don't even reflect early Christianity, and they're proud of it. Who are enrolled in heaven? Church of the firstborn are enrolled. Not necessarily the apostates that are leading God's people down their Babylonish trail to destruction. And to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. In case some people don't believe in perfection, all you got to do is look it up in a concordance and you'll find out you're wrong. Okay. And to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. Notice Jesus is not the mediator of the old covenant. He's the mediator of the new covenant. Sorry about that, you folks out there. You need to get in the covenant that was made with you. Not the covenant that was made with the Jews that passed away. You're in Jesus Christ now. You're not in the old covenant. It was a type and a shadow of the good things to come, not the very essence of the things to come. A shadow of the things to come. Don't go back under the shadow. There's darkness there. And to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. Amen. For if they escaped not when they refused him that warneth them on earth, much more shall not we escape who turn away from him that warneth from heaven. Amen. Our Lord speaks to us every day from heaven. And, you know, Moses spoke to them on the earth, but we have a better covenant based on better promises, and we need to listen to our Lord. By the way, that's the reason you need the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, since they didn't receive the Holy Spirit, the law was teaching them what they had to do every step of the way. And now, we're not to treat the New Testament like a law. We are to follow the voice of the Lord, whom we become familiar with because we know what the New Testament says. and the New Testament teaches what he has taught us. And his voice then shook the earth. Okay. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more will I make to tremble not the earth only, but also the heaven. And of course, this is coming. This great shaking is coming. We've talked about how it's coming, and we've talked about the earthquakes, and we've talked about the other things that are going to be falling from the sky, and all these things. Great shaking coming. And it's coming with the Lord himself. This is when the visitation happens, with this great shaking. We've even had in all of our dreams, a visitation in the midst of the great earthquakes, which is a physical type of shaking, but there's many other shakings out there, right? And the shakings of not only the earth, but also the heavens, And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those, that things wasn't written in the original there, of those that are shaken. He's talking about people that have been shaken, that have been removed. I mean, go all the way back to where we started, verse 14. You're talking about people being removed, rejected, right? They're not bearing fruit. They're bearing the fruit of wickedness, coming against their brothers, like Esau did. Signify the removing of those that are shaken as of made. That's what the numeric says. There's things that are made, and that not made by the hand of God, That those which are not shaken may remain. So, you see the faction movement, and before that the false revival movement, and all kinds of cults and sects and divisions and strifes out there, and false doctrines that destroy motivation and all that. See, all that was to take out the things that can be shaken. And the things that can't be shaken remain. Because this is a people that love the truth. Again, we're not talking about things, we're talking about people. Wherefore, receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, there you go. Let us have grace whereby we may offer service well-pleasing to God with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Yes, he is. And he wants to consume the wood, the hay, the stubble. He wants to bring it to an end. And, of course, some people, that's all they are, is wood, hay, and stubble. And this means that they will not have eternal life. They haven't borne the fruit of the kingdom. And they are rejected because of their evil thoughts, their attacks against their brethren, so on and so forth. So you can see that this is exactly what we've been through and where we're coming to, this ultimate shaking that's coming. And but speaking about those early disciples coming to heavenly Zion, and this time of shaking, Let's go to Revelation and read a little bit here. I'm going to start with the Philadelphia church. Now, the Philadelphia church, of course, was promised to escape all these things. And we are told in Luke, for instance, to pray that you be counted worthy to escape all these things. And in Revelation 2, to stand before the Son of Man. So we see the Philadelphia church as the bride, one of seven daughters. By the way, Moses, the man child, married one of seven daughters. And the Philadelphia church is just that. The church of brotherly love is what it means, and Allah Shair is one of the new names of it that the Muslims put on it, and it means the city of God. This is the city of God. Philadelphia represents the city of God. Now, who's the city of God? New Jerusalem. Well, now, he's going to start making this application as we read on down. this one of seven daughters who followed Moses into the wilderness, is like the Philadelphia church, the church of brotherly love. They're quite the opposite of the Edomites, of Esau, the wicked. They're quite the opposite of them. And they're going to follow the man-child into the wilderness. These things saith he, I'll start at verse 7, and the angel of the church of in Philadelphia write to the angel. Now, I'm going to just say this. We talked about it in the past, so I'll just say it. But John is not writing so that angels take his words and send them forth. The word angel, it means messenger. And there are the messengers to the churches. Now, the angels have a lot to do with that, but the word messenger fits there very well. Angel to the church in Philadelphia, right. He was writing to the messengers of the churches. Right? The apostolic leaders of the churches, you know. These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and none shall shut, and that shutteth and none openeth. You know, when the Lord opens the door, nobody can shut it. It's open for you. And I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee a door opened, which none can shut. That thou hast a little power, and didst keep my word, and didst not deny my name. Behold, I will give of the synagogue of Satan, of them that say that they are Jews, because there are people that say they're Jews, but we know that a Jew in the New Testament is one who is born from above, and their circumcision is of the heart. Okay? That's what it says. I believe it. Okay? I will give of the synagogue of Satan, of them that say they are Jews. Let me point this out. Being born from above is the only way you can enter the kingdom. And there's no other covenant that counts to enter the kingdom but the new covenant. And they are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou didst keep the word of my patience, I will keep thee from the hour of trial. All right. Keeping the word of his patience. Keeping us from the hour of trial, which is to come upon the whole world to try them that dwell upon the earth. I come quickly, hold fast that which thou hast, that no one take thy crown. I've watched people take others' crown, because they tempted and tested them just as the devil would, and they fell. They didn't hold God's word highly. They didn't keep the word of his patience in their hour of testing or trial, and they failed, and they lost their crown. He that overcometh, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, meaning he's not going to go in and out. Pillar's got to stay there, right? A pillar in the temple of my God. He shall go out thence no more. Well, no more in and out, right? He's in the temple. He's in the presence of the Lord. He is a part of the temple of God, in whom God lives, and he's not changing. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, it shall be done unto you, Jesus said. He shall go out thence no more, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is what? The bride, the city of God. Well, Philadelphia church was called the city of God. And the bride, as you know, is given to the man-child, in whom is the groom. And the groom is going to feast with the bride through the 7 days, which is the marriage feast, before going to the groom's home, which is in heaven. Before going to the groom's home, which is in heaven. That's the way it works. That's the marriage feast. The name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem. not the old Jerusalem. Old Jerusalem, Paul said, is in bondage with their children. Yes, they are. They're all caught up under law. And law separates from Christ, he tells you there in Galatians. And if you keep the law, you have to keep the whole law. If you keep any part of it in order to be justified, he tells you there you have to keep the whole law. You cannot be justified by the law. You have to come into the New Testament. Which cometh down, notice that, cometh down out of heaven from my God. Now he's talking to the churches here. Cometh down. It's being born from above, just as we are being born from above. 30, 60, and 100-fold, we're being born from above. The New Jerusalem, which John called, or it was spoken to John, that was the bride coming down out of heaven from my God and mine own new name. Name means nature, character, and authority. We're taking on his nature, character, and authority. We're being conformed to the New Jerusalem bride, those that are seeking holiness and righteousness. This door is closing. We've been told prophetically that this door is closing very quickly. And so if you want, you must humble yourself before God, repent, and walk by faith in him for everything. And it's coming down from God and my own new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Well, amen. Coming down out of heaven. You must be born again. The Word of God must be in you, living in you. Revelation 21, 2, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It's not waiting up there to come down in the millennium. It's coming down now. Coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his peoples. Now, where did God dwell? Well, in the temple. Where? At Zion. At the bride, right? The presence of God is in the bride. The law will go forth from Jerusalem, from Zion, right? And God himself shall be with them and will be their God. He shall wipe away every tear, so on and so forth. And verse 7, he that overcometh shall inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But for the fearful, the unbelieving, and the abominable, the murderers, and the fornicators, and the sorcerers, and the idolaters, and all liars, their part shall be in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. In other words, they don't get to live in this city. Which is, he goes on to say that these people will not be in this city. And there came one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls that were laden with the seven last plagues, and he spake concerning, come hither, and I'll show thee the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. How come they always see it coming down? Because it is. If you're born again, literally in John chapter 3, verses, I believe it's 3 and 5, it's born from above. You're being born from above. The Word of God, the manna that came down out of heaven in the form of Jesus Christ, is what we eat to come into his image. And by the way, he says in verse 23, and the city hath no need of the sun, neither the moon, to shine upon it, for the glory of God did lighten it. We walk in the light of God's Word, right? And the lamp thereof is the Lamb. And the nations shall walk amidst the light thereof, and the kings of the earth bring their glory into it. Who are the kings of the earth? Well, chapter 5 and verse 10 seems to point out that they reign upon the earth. That is God's people. reign upon the earth. We talked about the binding and loosing. Who's got authority to bring down the kingdoms of this world? We do. Well, what does that make us? Kings of the earth? Bring their glory into it. Glory is that 30, 60, and 100 fold manifestation of Christ in you. Right? That's what it is. They bring their glory into it. And the gates thereof shall no wise be shut day or night, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything unclean, or he that maketh an abomination and a lie. So these people do not enter the bride. They will not be in the bride. But only they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me the river of the water of life, proceeding as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God, which is where? In the midst of this city, in the midst of this bride. And he says in verse 14, blessed are they that wash their robes, that they may have the right to come to the tree of life, and may enter in by the gates into the city. And without are the dogs, the sorcerers, or witchcraft, right? The fornicators, the murderers, and the idolaters, and everyone that loveth and maketh a lie. And 17 says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Where? The invitation to get on the highway of holiness which goes to Zion, where no beast can come up thereon. The invitation, okay, is to be there. And he says, I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto them, God shall add unto him the plagues which are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and from and out of the holy city, which are written in this book. So don't add to God's word. Don't take away. There's nobody. The people with the right doctrine of Scripture are the only ones that can be in the bride. He takes your place out of the bride if you add to his word or take away from his word. And Father, we thank you so much for your goodness and your mercy to us, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you continue to draw us. We know that the door is closing very quickly. You've shown us this, but the shaking is coming. The presence of God is coming. The Lord Jesus is coming in a corporate body to minister to the whole world. Just as in type, he came in an individual body to minister to that little portion of the Middle East. Because now Jews are all over the world. They're circumcised in heart and they're everywhere. Jesus wants to do this job. He is going to have the preeminence in all things, God said. Lord Jesus, we welcome you. We welcome you to come and do your marvelous work. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, saints, bless you. See you soon.